When crinoline's honey, the South shall rise again.
No, Susanna, oh, don't you sit and spin. If we all turn out with a rebel shout, the South shall rise again.
Call out that picture of Stonewall Jackie.
Welcome to Stormfront. I'm your host, John Black, and it is a Tuesday, the 8th of February, 2022. And welcome to my co-host, Patrick Slattery, J.S., and our special guest, Andy Hitchcock, today. A lot going on in the world, and we'll try to get to a little bit of it over the course of the show, but I do want to turn this over to Patrick and Andy, but in the meantime, a lot going on with Truckistan and the trucks erection in Ottawa, which just goes on and on. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, emerged from hiding yesterday to call the truck demonstration. It is completely peaceful. A threat to democracy, and of course ordering the police to arrest anybody that supplies the truckers with fuel or any other supplies. So that's going, but that they're not going away. They're not leaving, according to all reports. And according to an RT reporter, it's like a family, carnival. Everybody's having a good time. So, and it's moving to this country, so we may well have our own freedom convoy to Washington, D.C. soon. And then, of course, we have the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, in which various negotiations going on between Macron and Putin and, of course, Merkel, whom we despise, but in Germany, but she apparently speaks Russian fluently, and so things aren't going to go exactly as the United States has planned there, and then, of course, cascading down to China. So, interesting developments. Okay, Patrick and Andy.
Well, Truckistan. So the Truckistan stuff is really, really big, but also because we have Andy and he is from Great Britain and big things have happened there. And because of the intense censorship that we've been under, just like, you know, all this stuff was going on in Australia. And it was, unless you were really familiar with 8chan or some of these other obscure corners of the Internet, it was really, really hard to find out what was going on there. Enormous things have happened in Great Britain. What have we heard about it? So, Andy, are there still mask mandates and vaccine mandates? Do the healthcare workers still all have to get their vaccinations? What's going on in Great Britain that we're not even hearing about?
Well, thank you, Patrick. And just hello, Patrick. Hello, Jay. Hello, Don. And hello, Max. Over in the UK, pretty much all the restrictions have come down, but you've still got a similar situation to what you have in America. For a good example would be the London Mayor, Sajid Khan, has insisted that we still have to wear masks on the buses and the trains and the underground subway trains, you call them, in London. And so you've still got mayors that can impose their will upon people. I still see the
people comply with those.
Well, I mean, essentially, you can be fined if you don't, but it's one of those things. I've been confronted once. I was on a tram, and there was about three of them, and they came up to me, and they just said, your mask, sir. I said, I have an exemption. They said, that's absolutely fine, and they walked away. But people have been being fined. That was months ago when we were sort of, you know, just coming out of the lockdown, I think, last summer. But essentially, I just feel that when we know the fact that we've got big corporations that pretty much control your food. You know, it's very difficult to find a local shop where you can buy your food these days. It's all, what even happened is when you did have a big company like Tesco's or Sainsbury's, which are, you know, two biggest supermarkets probably. I think there's about five big supermarket chains in the UK. And now you've got shops like a Sainsbury's Local. And that's like a smaller version, but they put as a smaller shop. So they want to get control of all the food distribution, essentially. And the stage has been set, in my opinion, because some of these supermarket chains have said, you know, we're still going to ask people to wear masks. We can't enforce it, but we're going to recommend that they do. And I can see a situation down the line where they'll say, well, we need people to wear masks, or we need people to have proof of vaccination in order to enter our premises. And as I've always said, that we're told that that's their choice as a business. But then if they decided not to bake a cake for a homosexual couple, then that's not their choice as a business. So they can have choices to make as a business when it suits the agenda, but not when it doesn't suit the agenda. And so it's important that we continue to point out the hypocrisy that goes on, because I think that what they're going to do is they're going to use the fact that they've got control of so much of the infrastructure to impose their own will via their own companies to make people do what people don't want to do. And that's why they waited until they had this much control before they rolled it out. The mainstream media is a case in point. It's an absolute joke here in the UK. We're nearly 2,000 people dead from the vaccine off the UK government's website. But you never read about any of them in the mainstream media. And they're openly aggressive towards people who won't get the vaccine. With Boris Johnson, they've been attacking him relentlessly. And I believe that was because he didn't lock down over Christmas. And we know the people who would most like to disrupt Christmas, as they did the previous year. And I think that's why they're coming after him now. The latest thing is because he said that Sir Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, who is married to an Israeli, certainly her family lives in Israel. He's got many family members over.
Israeli?
Yeah.
Or somebody whose family lives in Israel? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. I know that they've got family in Israel. So whether she's Jewish and, you know, they've got some family in Israel. But basically, he was the head of the Crown Prosecution Service, which is the organisation that decides who they're going to prosecute. And he was the head of that when the Jimmy Savile investigation was ongoing. And what happened was in the House
Jimmy
of Commons
Savile
last...
Like a notorious pedophile who had had a long career at the BBC.
Yeah, that's correct. And the whole media just ganged up, even people in Boris Johnson's own party, the Conservatives, saying how wrong he was to say it. Oh, because, you know, Sir Keir Starmer, he didn't know, and this sort of stuff. And it's amazing to see this collective gang stalking, if you like, of Boris Johnson, who's no particular friend of mine. But when you see how it works across both political parties against him, and how the media jump all over him, the fact is this guy was in charge when investigations were basically being started and then being stopped. But apparently he had nothing to do with it. Well, I always thought that if you were when something goes wrong in the Conservative Party or what have you, like these parties that took place at Downing Street, well, it's Boris Johnson must go, he's the head. Well, this guy was the head of that, but for some reason he doesn't bear any responsibility for it. And then only yesterday, Keir Starmer was getting out of a car, and he was surrounded by some people who were heckling him about this Jimmy Savile business, and it's all over the news, Boris Johnson must resign, he caused this violence against Sir Keir Starmer and all this stuff. And for me, this is probably a load of Antifa people that have been sent out to do that, to cause this problem, in the same way that, as you referred to the truckers earlier in Canada, we've seen some people in masks waving swastikas and things like that. Well, I think that these are Soros operatives also. And then they'll report that. And it's amazing, isn't it, how we hear these officials of Ottawa bleating about how, oh, they're honking horns and people have been locked in their homes, they can't open their businesses. Well, that's what the Canadian government did to the people under the lockdowns. And then they had no problem with the violent Black Lives Matter riots, but they have problems with this. The fact of the matter is you've got the World Economic Forum, who've had this plan up their sleeve for many, many years, probably decades, which involves essentially locking people in their homes so they can destroy businesses, so they can get even more control of the infrastructure. Then they also want to get whatever's in this vaccine into people's bodies that we know has killed you know, hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, throughout the world. It's injured over 400,000 people in the UK alone, and we have a population of 67 million. But there's no let up from the media. There's no one saying, well, hang on, how about these people injured? How about these people dead? Why? Because it shows us the control that this group has. And you literally get this Klaus Schwab, you've probably seen the video. Oh, you know, half of the cabinet in Argentina are from young global leaders, and same in France, not just Macron and all this. And so he's basically telling people proudly that he runs a group that essentially tells politicians what they're going to do on their behalf to their people, to their own people that have supposedly elected them. And it even gets worse than that, because when you see things like Biden, which was so obviously a stolen election, you know, they don't even need to rely on the votes from the people to put them in anymore. But it's this arrogance that I think is starting to seep out. And their strategy is, the people in charge that are all part of this insidious group, is we control the mainstream media, we control the governments, we make the laws, we can then control the police, all these different things. We've got our other sort of guerrilla groups like Antifa, which are just basically paid for by us. To make out that they're some sort of protesters, but they're the first protesters I've ever seen that actually protest pro-government policy. I thought protesting was generally against government policy, but they come out and they protest for government policy. I've never seen that before, but of course it's organised by these same people, in my opinion. And my job is just to get this information out as often as possible so people wake up and they can see it, because we know that they can't openly go out and say, right, Antifa are a government organisation. But we know behind the scenes these people are inherently evil, and they will do anything to get their agenda in place. And they've been working on this for, as I say, decades. And the other key thing is, that I've always maintained, is every country should be self-sufficient to the best of their ability. And by that I mean, when I was doing economics at school back in the mid-80s, we were taught basic things like, you know, we need trade, for example, in the UK, because we can't grow bananas or coffee here. We don't have the climate, so we'll use trade and we'll get that from South America or wherever. But essentially, every country should be producing its own vehicles, its own food, and everything that it can within its own, what would I say, not restrictions, but within its own ability, shall we say. And then other things that they want that they can't create, they should then go abroad and get those. But imports should be kept to a minimum. But what this group has done over the decades is deindustrialize the West completely. And so they can now say everything is produced in China and India. And we could just turn that off as and when we want. And that's what they're going to do. And it even goes down to a low level like a smart meter. If you don't pay your electricity bill, at some point they're going to have to send someone around and cut you off. They can't just flick a switch. But with a smart meter, they can cut you off at any time. And as someone who's had his books removed from Amazon, and then they've gone to Lulu to get them taken from there, I've had my PayPal account taken away, I know exactly how these people work. And the whole plan is if anyone speaks out of turn, then they will cut them off to the extent that they will prevent you even heating your home. So they will not just starve you out with their supermarkets, but they'll freeze you out with their energy. The whole system is so sickeningly corrupt, it needs to come down. And I've called for the arrest of these World Economic Forum people, the Bilderberg Group people, all these organisations that are a conspiracy on paper. Because if you've got a load of people getting together to meet up to decide what they're going to do around the world, that is a conspiracy. So sorry for the long reply, Patrick, but back to you.
Well, okay. And we have Jay and Don as well. But when we're talking about they... you know, we can use that pronoun they. Those are our pronouns. And, of course, when other people hear us say they might have their own idea of who they are. Obviously, we're talking about people who, by and large, are dominant in the world and, to a certain extent, control events to a certain extent, whatever that extent may be. So the question is, who are they? Now, to me, they is... A bunch of people in various industries and professions who together have a whole bunch of power, and whose cohesiveness is largely due to the Jewish elements within them. That these industries and professions and groups that constitute they, all these constituent elements, or most of these constituent elements, have a very disproportional number of Jews, and Jews have a strong tendency towards ethnocentrism, and towards seeking their whatever they perceive to be their group interest, and that tends to give that tends to play a very large role in shaping the agenda. And you could have industries that are allied with this that aren't necessarily Jewish dominated, but still do still throw their lot in with them because they'll do well that way. That's the way I see they. Andy or Don or Jay, is there a different way of seeing they? Who is them? Who is they? Who is they? Who is they? Who is they be?
Jay Matt? Would have an idea about that, but certainly we know who they are.
The Jew!
And so we can all agree on that. But it's a little more than just Jews, you know. It's a whole gaggle of hangers-on who benefit from the current system. So that's what we're dealing with. Okay. Have we agreed on who they are?
I guess so.
I think you've nailed it.
Here's an answer, unless you want to weigh in more, Jay.
No. Only takes one word. The Jew.
Okay.
Well, he's not entirely the Jew.
Don is right. It's not as simplistic as just the Jews, but they managed to get all these helpers, shall I say, what they like to call Shabbos Goyim, you know, are people that help them achieve their goals. They're very good at it.
Okay. Yeah. Without the cohesiveness of the Jewish elements, there might still be a them. But they would not necessarily be doing all the same things. They would have a very different agenda, I think. But I was going to ask Andy. So your lockdowns and whatnot have ended for the time being. And as somebody who's not that tuned into British politics and who has to watch what's going on through I get none of this, basically none of this through the mainstream media. There's massive censorship, so with limited information, I wonder, my first thought is, well, has Boris Johnson, because of the Partygate, all these parties that he was having, and they were obviously not following the advice for how you stay alive in the midst of this global pandemic, that he was suddenly a liability for the establishment, for the them. He'd become a liability, and they were trying to throw him under the bus and get rid of him. And suddenly he decided, oh, wait a minute, there is one other group that might have a little bit of power that I can ally myself with. It's the people. And so he's giving the people what they want as if it's a democracy. Now, that's just the first thing that comes to mind. I have no idea if that's at all true. What do you think of that?
Well, again, it's interesting because Boris Johnson had a U.S. passport because he was born in America. You may be aware of that. But he turned in his news as money.cnn.com. So this will be a very reliable source. But on this, they're probably going to be accurate because it's a pretty, you know, not a political story. But it says this is from 2017. Boris Johnson has turned in his U.S. passport. Essentially, it said Johnson wasn't always happy being American. In 2015, he settled a U.S. tax bill that he had described as absolutely outrageous.
Oh, Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Essentially, it said Johnson wasn't always happy being American. In 2015, he settled a US tax bill that he had described as absolutely outrageous. Unlike most countries, the US taxes its citizens on all income, no matter where it's earned or where they live. The rules can sometimes result in surprise tax bills for Americans who live abroad. Johnson had initially refused to pay the bill, saying the IRS was coming after him for capital gains tax on the sale of his first London home. There you go. Back to you.
Well, I mean, the question was, and if you heard extraneous noise, I'm sorry about that. I thought my mute was on. But the question was, is he being thrown under the bus because he's suddenly a liability and then decided that that he could ally himself with the people? And is that why the people got what they want all of a sudden?
Well, I think it was you. Well, I know it was you who mentioned, I think it was on a show that we did, or a show I heard you talking of, and some Americans refer to Boris Johnson as Down Syndrome Trump, which I found quite amusing. But the interesting thing as well with Boris Johnson is that he's got a real mixed heritage, which includes Jewish heritage. He worked on a kibbutz, you know, like a lot of these people do in their sort of late teenage years, early 20s, whenever that is. He did that. So that was part of his Jewish heritage. I think he's got Turkish heritage as well. And he's a real sort of mixed bag there. But as Trump demonstrated, if you're not 100% on board with these people, you're going under the bus. So it doesn't matter if you move your embassy to Jerusalem, which is something no previous president in America has done, or you recognize the Israel as being the legal owner of the Golan Heights, which is something no previous president has done. In the same way with Boris Johnson, he's gone along with all the lockdowns and promoted the vaccine, all these different things that they want him to do. But if you do one thing they don't like, then you're going, okay? Because 99% on board is not good enough for these people. It's got to be 100%. And these are the sort of things we need to point out to show how evil this group is and how there's absolutely no negotiating with them whatsoever. They have an agenda, and that agenda is going to go into place come hell or high water. And my message to the Canadians is keep on trucking, because as far as I'm concerned, when I see the way that they're being demonized over there, and it's the same playbook every time. Oh, it's an insurrection. Where did they get that term from, I wonder? You know? And it's astonishing that these people in charge are not particularly bright, and their minions aren't particularly bright either, but they have a group around them that come out with a script, and of course they like, they're a corporate entity, and so they like everything corporate in the sense that you're probably all familiar with that news clip, came out a couple of years ago where it showed all these different news stations in America, and they were all reading the same script to their viewers, and these are all different stations throughout America, and they pop one up after another, and they're all saying the same thing in the same cadence as well. The whole thing is, and it just goes to show how they have to put it together. They got Bill Clinton to deregulate the media, and suddenly you had a handful of media organizations rather than all these different organizations throughout the country, because you can't control all these different things. So you have to get a few, like what they like to do with politics is they like to give you the illusion that you have choice by saying you can choose between two parties. Well, they know that a one-party system like communism, that's too obvious that there's totalitarian control. But the cheapest way apart from that is to just have two parties, and then they pretend you've got choice. And then in the UK, you do have choice. You have the Labour Party or the Conservative Party. But they have a group called the Labour Friends of Israel and the Conservative Friends of Israel. And so we know who's controlling these parties because they tell us. They say on the Conservative Friends of Israel website, they say that they've got over 2,000 people throughout the entire party, from lower levels to senior levels, that are members of the Conservative Friends of Israel. And on the Labour Friends of Israel site, they list all the Labour MPs that they've got that are members. And they openly admit that these people are paid to go on expenses, paid trips to Israel, all sorts of stuff. And then we read in the Daily Mail a couple of weeks ago about how, oh, there's some Chinese spy, someone's infiltrated the government and they've been talking to an MP and all that. And these websites, they admit all the control they've got on their of both political parties in the UK. But you won't read about that in the Daily Mail, because the Daily Mail's controlled by the same group. You've got, it's supposed to be a right-wing newspaper. It's headed up by a guy called Paul Swillenberg, is the CEO, last I heard. You know, and it's the same playbook throughout the media that pretends to be left-leaning like The Guardian, the media that prepares to be right-leaning like The Daily Mail. When it comes to the agenda, they're all completely on board with it. And I think that this is the Achilles heel that we've got to exploit. Because by showing now that they all sing off the exact same hymn sheet on certain issues, they'll, on petty little issues, they might have a disagreement to try and give you the illusion that people have choice. But it's the central core issues that they put out the same message on. And I want to share something with you guys. And please stop me if I've said this before on this show, because this is something that's going to make the audience of my show sigh, because I've read it out so often. But this is from my book, The Synagogue of Satan, and it's an entry from 1988. So the entry is as follows. The Anti-Defamation League initiate a nationwide competition for law students to draft anti-hate legislation designed to protect minority groups. That competition is won by a man named Joseph Ribicoff.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Anti-hate legislation designed to protect minority groups. That competition is won by a man named Joseph Ribicoff, whose proposals stipulate that not only must hate-motivated violence be banned, but any words which stimulate suspicion, friction, hate, and possible violence, these must also be criminalised. This ADL prize-winning paper suggests that not only should state agencies monitor and restrict free speech in general, but they should also censor all films that criticise identifiable groups. Furthermore, even if the person making the statement can justify it, for example, Christians criticising homosexuality because the Bible forbids it, Ribicoff asserts that the truth is to be no defence in court. Where have we heard that applied before? Continuing, the only proof a court will need in order to secure a conviction of hate speech is that something has been said and a minority group or member of such group has felt emotionally damaged as a result of such criticism. Therefore, under these proposals, which the ADL will have forced into law all over the world less than 15 years later, so we're now moving forward to the early 2000s, Jesus Christ would have been arrested as a hate criminal. Well, they didn't arrest him, they just crucified him. But this is where it goes back to what Jay was saying about the Jews. This law, this is my opinion, is designed to protect the Rothschild banking dynasty from being revealed, in that if you criticise this criminal cabal, you'll be targeted as anti-Semitic and thus risk imprisonment. Because we know in the protocols, they talk about how they're going to control their lesser brethren. Well, the lesser brethren are obviously Jews who don't have the same money and status as these ones at the top. And that's what I think that we've got here. We've got a group of people that are residing within the Jewish community, which is a very small worldwide group. I think Jeff Wentz said it's something like 0.3% of the worldwide population. They insert themselves within there. We've heard about things like the 13th tribe by Arthur Kessler. Some people say that that's, they agree with his findings. Some people don't. But whatever it is, you've got a group of people that now, if you criticize a Rothschild, a George Soros, the Guardian newspaper will call you anti-Semitic. Because they know that the whole purpose of hate crime laws is to protect these people by saying if you criticize them, you're criticizing a race. But if I was to criticize Boris Johnson, they don't call me anti-English. It's only when it comes to Jewish people.
No, they'll call you anti-Turkish.
Anti-Semitic. Very good one, Patrick. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so this is my point. So when you look at something like that, I mean, I don't know if any of you have heard about that ADL competition before, but we're going back 35 years, nearly 34 years, that the ADL are asking people, law students, to draft hate crimes legislation. And then you look at the ADL now and how they boast that they're in charge of, or, well, I don't know if they say in charge, but they're involved in censorship for YouTube and for all these other organisations and Facebook and what have you. And we've got laws in this country. I think Mark Collette and I have spoken to you about them, Patrick. The online, Online Harms Bill. And essentially what they're, one of the elements of it is, oh, if you say something that's medically incorrect, and I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but essentially what they're trying to push through is that if I was to say that something about the vaccine, then if I willfully said it knowing that I was telling lies, so if I said, you know, the vaccine's really bad, it does X, Y, and Z, and I knew that not to be true, I can go to prison for 2 years. That's what they want to do in the UK. But you have to knowingly do it, so you're knowingly lying. Well, I could say that I've heard about the blood clots from the vaccine, I've heard about all these deaths off the, you know, that I refer to off the website, the government website in the UK. It's our equivalent of your VAERS data. But they could still arrest you, because they'll say, well, we need to arrest you because we need to find out if, you know, where you're getting this information. So you're coming in. And then if they could turn around and say, yeah, but the Daily Mail says this, and you've clicked on that article in the Daily Mail that says that the vaccine's safe. So they've told you the vaccine's safe, so if you're saying it's unsafe, then you're willfully spreading disinformation, you're going to prison for 2 years. This is where they're going with this. And the model that they've got in place, which is revealed in that paper where it said truth is no defence in court, you remember what the judge at the Ernst Undel trial said in Germany, and what a statement to make at the end of the trial. It doesn't matter whether the Holocaust happened or not. What matters is that you said it didn't happen, and that is an offence in Germany. Why would you make such a statement at the end of a trial if that's not a dog whistle? Back to you, Patrick, and the panel.
Anybody want to weigh in? Because Don and Jay, didn't you know Ernst Undel personally?
Yeah, I met Ernst once, and I think Don knew Ernst fairly well. He's met him several times.
Is the truth no defense?
That's what they said at Ernst's trial. That's what the judge said.
I know another guy called Alfred Schaefer, who was a regular on my show, and he's doing 3.5 years in a German prison for disputing the official narrative of the Holocaust. And Alfred was a very bright guy. His father was smuggled out of one of the, was it Rhine Meadows camps? You know, where they were locked up after the war? He was a doctor. And you'll have probably heard of Monica Schaefer in Canada as well. She did a video, Sorry Mum, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And she went to visit Alfred in Germany. And then with the trial of Sylvia Stoltz, and she was pulled out of the public gallery and arrested, spent 10 months in prison, and got back to Canada. And her brother Alfred was locked up for the same 3.5 years. But Alfred is a very, look, I've got this evidence, I'll just show the court. What was happening? And get this, because it gets even worse. So he's very confident. He said, I've got all this evidence that I can say it disproves the official narrative, so I'm going to a court so I can show you. Not only is truth no defence in court, but because he presented that evidence in court when he'd also been prosecuted for presenting it in public, wherever that may have been, he's now been given extra charges and extra time on his sentence because presenting it again in court is you repeating the offence, you see. And so then you get charged again, and then you get more and more sentence time. And where is Amnesty International on this? Where is the media on this? Why are the media not talking about 90-year-old Ursula Haverbeck being locked away because she expresses an opinion on history that is the only part of history, to my knowledge, that if you disagree with in certain countries, you can be locked up for 5 years. You could say that, you know, aliens brought down the World Trade Center. You can say the towers, you know, it was holograms, all these weird and wonderful theories that people have said. There's no prosecution, there's no, but it's the only thing in history. And why is that? And there's that saying about, you know, when he who doth protest too much, that's probably a bad example. But when you're resorting to actually, if you dispute an official narrative of history, you go to jail for 5 years. That is tyranny that you're living under, because once you start legislating things like that, then you obviously don't have any free speech, and you're in a very dangerous place and a very dangerous country. And they're trying to roll this out everywhere, because you're probably aware that I think it was only in last month that the UN have passed something to do with Holocaust denial. So they want to roll it out all around the world. And it just boggles the mind that they can so barefaced say that we have the democratic right to free speech and all that in these different countries, when we see all these people getting jailed, even in the US, where you've got more rights over your free speech. Look at all these January 6 people that are in jail. And where's Amnesty International on that? These people expressed a political opinion, and yeah, some of them marched into a Capitol building. I didn't see any of them setting it on fire or looting it or killing people or assaulting people, but I saw that in countless so-called peaceful demonstrations in America, these Black Lives Matter riots that were mostly peaceful. And it's so obvious what's going on. So they've got all their eggs in one basket with their mainstream media and their government control, and they're hoping that this will get them over the line. But at the same time, they're increasing the censorship. Look at what they're doing to Joe Rogan, because he had a couple of doctors on. We've got to get this guy. So it's all lined up. It's like Patrick referred to the parties with Boris Johnson. Do you honestly think that the press didn't have all that information about these parties when they happened in May of 2020, nearly 2 years ago? Do you honestly think that they didn't have that information? Of course they had it, and it was in their back pocket to use it.
And so why was it leaked when it was then?
It was leaked when it was, in my opinion, because Boris Johnson didn't lock England down over the Christmas period and therefore desecrate the Christmas holiday. Yeah.
That's the same thing Mark Collett just told me, too. He said the exact same thing. Okay.
That, and because the other thing is, we have to clarify here that England is part of the United Kingdom. I'm not trying to, you know, dumb anybody down. But in the same way in the US, you've got your different states. United Kingdom is Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales had forms of lockdown over Christmas. There were restrictions over Christmas, but England didn't have that. And that was because Boris Johnson didn't put that through. And that is why I think they're coming from with these things. And then the other aspect as well, I forget where, the January 6th protests and what have you. It's just, sorry, the comparison between that and Canada now, the language is the same. And these are peaceful protests. There was no fires being set, no violence being done. There might have been a bit of jostling and people went into the Capitol building. But you've got people that, I saw cases in the UK. We had a guy who'd smashed something up in a Black Lives Matter demonstration and he didn't even turn up to court. And it was like, oh, that's okay. And then when he does turn up to court, the judge was like, oh, that's okay, you know, you're a young man, you know, you've got a few things to learn, a custodial sentence won't be any good, and things like that. And so it's because of the woke culture. They don't want to prosecute people that do what they want, which is race-baiting riots. But when you've got people standing up for patriotism and standing up for justice and standing up that, you know, it might sound strange to some people, but we truckers in Canada, we don't want to have to get a vaccine put into our bodies that's killed and harmed so many people to do our jobs. And suddenly they're insurrectionists. It's astonishing, isn't it, really?
It is. So one parallel between this and January 6th, the thing about the January 6th is it only went on for a few hours. This has been going on for days and days, for like close to a couple of weeks now, if you count the days where they were driving to Ottawa. So, but one parallel is the festive nature of it, because there's complaints that the truckers have taken what was supposed to be, I guess they were supposed to be corralled into some football stadium or something, and what they did is they turned the football stadium into they brought in saunas, they brought in bouncy cages for their kids to play in, and turned it into kind of like a carnival atmosphere. That was already that was actually happening even in the two or three hours of the Capitol Hill protest. You had somebody, there was a cherry picker that was on the grounds for whatever reason. I guess they had been doing something with lights or scaffolding or whatever. There's a cherry picker, and somebody, I mean, these are working people. They know how to operate construction machinery. They know how to hotwire a machine, get it started without the keys. Now, at a Black Lives Matter demonstration, they would have just burned. They would have burned construction. They did. They did burn construction equipment. They burned stuff. Destroyed stuff. At this rally, they hotwired it and gave people festive rides up and down. They were taking people up and down so they could get a better view, and it was fun. And I was reporting in real time that it just seemed like a festive atmosphere. It seemed like a county fair, what was going on. And, this is the difference. And yet, in spite of that difference, you'll have Justin Trudeau come out and say that, he met with the Black Lives Matter people because he shares their concerns and shares their objectives. But these people and the truck insurrection, they're just evil. There was a Confederate flag there, a symbol of hate, right? The Confederate flag was the symbol of a group that fought, a group that wound up fighting against the United States in a couple of centuries ago. In Canada, you had the French Indian War, and the French fought against the British Canadians, and they had a flag that had the fleur-de-lis on it. Well, guess what? You still see the fleur-de-lis flag. The fleur-de-lis flag, or the Confederate flag, is no more hateful than the fleur-de-lis flag. That's just my two cents. But anyway, kicking it over to Don and Jay, is the truck's erection, is this going to bring down the Canadian government and end COVID tyranny in the Great White North?
We can only hope so.
I think it will cascade down to this country, and there's already talk about a freedom convoy to Washington, D.C. So it's somewhat surprising that truckers would be the catalyst for all of this, but truckers can bring down the entire country. We already have a supply chain problem with groceries and to a degree fuel. So if truckers want to go on strike in some form, the country will really be hurting. So they've got a lot of power, and I would not have expected them to have organized this well in Ottawa and other parts of Canada, too. So we can expect some great things. But the idea that you can suppress something like this by arresting anyone or threatening to arrest anyone that brings fuel to the truckers or any other supplies, I don't think it's going to work. And it may have some effect, but so far, according to news reports, none of these truckers have left. And there have been some confrontations with the Royal Canadian Mounties that didn't turn out all that well. So we'll see how all this turns out, but it's certainly encouraging. And it is really is a peaceful protest, but Justin Trudeau said it is a threat. I guess he spoke to Parliament yesterday, came out of hiding, and said it's a threat to democracy. Yes. So we.
Oh, yeah. The people's will is always a threat to democracy, yes.
It is pretty ludicrous, but that's the world we live in. So we can look forward to more fireworks. I mean, it is, this world we live in is so absurd. I watch the...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
I mean, it is, this world we live in is so absurd nowadays. I watched the Hunter Biden special on Fox Nation last night, hosted by Judge Jeanine Pirro. And it's absolutely unbelievable that we have a president associated with this guy. clearly associated. But that's what we've got. And he has been protected by the legacy media, the rest of the media, to a degree, but obviously not entirely, because the Fox Nation streaming video is absolutely damning. And we already knew this, of course, but it's hard to imagine that we have a president now associate who has a son who is
who is like a crackhead.
That's it.
He's a crackhead. Well, I mean, yeah, you guys are at least Don and Jay, I'm sure you remember Billy Carter, right?
Oh yeah.
And well, you know what was the worst about Billy Carter? Okay, he started his own beer company because he liked beer, and he had a gas station, and he'd sit in front of his gas station and drink beer. that wasn't quite scandalous. I guess it was a little bit endearing, maybe. Max remembers. If we're on the subject of Biden and his crackhead son, you know, there's other stuff too. What do we know about his daughter's diary? Because there was a diary that was released to the public. I don't know if it's authentic or not, but it indicated that Biden was showering with his grown daughter. Weird stuff there. There were people on 4chan and 8chan who were somehow able to figure out that some of these photos from the laptop, because you know there's metadata in JPEG files saying, you know, when it was saved and this and that, and that some of these like really like pornographic crack photos were taken, and they were taken in a hotel in Washington D.C. at a particular time, and then they were able to. Looking at Hunter Biden's, I guess Beau Biden has a daughter, which would be Hunter Biden's niece, and looking at her, what would it be, Instagram timeline, and seeing that she was actually in that same hotel the morning, like maybe 2 or 3 hours after she was photographing her scrambled eggs in the restaurant of this same restaurant, of the same hotel. And so there's a lot of really bizarre stuff. So how much more, to what extent is all this verified and believable? And will this ever matter?
Well, you know, there's one thing about this Hunter Biden thing. Miranda Devine has written a book, The Laptop from Hell. And apparently all the book publishers have gotten together and decided that they're not going to allow this book to be presented within their brick and mortar stores, because I've been looking since the first of the year when this book came out, and they refused to put this book out on the shelves. But you can go up to the counter and order. Well, looks like we're out of time. Thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. manner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.